From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting the head of the World Football Federation resigns his post. Sepp Blatter, president of the World Football Federation, FIFA, abruptly resigned his post Tuesday in the midst of an unfolding corruption scandal. Blatter had just been re-elected to a fifth term Friday. He's called for an extraordinary Congress of the Football Federation to choose a successor. It's good news to Greg Dyke, chairman of the English Football Association.
FIFA would never get sorted out while he was there, and it is a deeply flawed, possibly corrupt organisation that needs a lot of work. And that wasn't going to happen while he was there, so he's gone. I mean, when I left on Friday night, I was interviewed by quite a lot of people, and I said, look, this, he'll never last 4 years. This won't sustain. But even I couldn't have dreamt that he'd be gone by Tuesday.
The 79-year-old FIFA chief took the world by surprise when he announced his decision at a Zurich news conference, since he had repeatedly professed his innocence throughout days of adverse publicity about FIFA executives' corrupt activities and multi-million-dollar bribe-taking. In Burundi, more street protests against President Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for a third term in elections slated for this month, just 3 days ahead of scheduled parliamentary elections. This protester said Mr. Nkurunziza should withdraw his candidacy for the country to have peace. Protesters clashed with police Tuesday, who used tear gas. Some witnesses reported hearing gunfire. Protests since late April have left at least 20 dead. Regional leaders have called for a delay of at least 6 weeks in the elections amid the tensions. The country's Electoral Commission is reportedly considering alternative dates for the votes. This is VOA News. President Obama signed into law a bill ending the government's massive collection of telephone data intended to prevent terrorist attacks. He said the new rules protect both civil liberties and national security. The signing came hours after days of contentious debate with an overwhelming Senate approval of the measure. Under the rules, the telephone companies, not the National Security Agency, will collect and hold the phone call records of American citizens. Federal investigators would then need a court order to examine those records. Former NSA contractor Edward Snowden, who for 2 years fled the U.S. and revealed details of the secret data collection process, said from a location in Russia Tuesday the program was ineffective.
We've had the Boston Marathon bombings, for example, where the United States government knew who these individuals were in advance of the attack. They were already identified and known to the intelligence services. But despite the fact they were watching everybody in the country, they didn't thwart the attack. And the question is why? The answer there is because when you have individuals like me who are ultimately responsible for this going into a desk every morning and trying to search through the world's communications from the previous day, the previous week, the previous month, you realize very quickly that if we collect everything, we understand nothing.
Critics said the program was a government invasion of privacy because of the millions of Americans whose calls were scrutinized but had no connection to terrorism. Hundreds of divers are searching a capsized passenger ship on China's Yangtze River, looking for survivors, many believed to be elderly tourists. The Xinhua News Agency reports only 14 have been rescued, 7 bodies recovered, more than 430 are missing. The vessel overturned late Monday, moments after being caught in a heavy storm. The U.S. Tuesday acknowledged published reports. Senior U.S. officials met in Oman last week with representatives of the Houthi rebel movement in Yemen. The talks involved Assistant Secretary of State Ann Patterson. Marie Harf is a U.S. spokesperson.
We used that meeting to reinforce our view that there can only be a political solution to the conflict in Yemen and that all parties, including the Houthi, should commit to participation in the UN-led political process. And they were really focused on getting the different political constituencies to attend the planned talks in Geneva, again, including the Houthis.
The meetings are the first publicly recognized talks between a U.S. official and Houthis since the rebels seized the Yemeni capital Sana'a and ousted President Abu Mansur Hadi this year. Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir, wanted on genocide charges by the International Criminal Court, was sworn in Tuesday for another 5-year term. Mr. Bashir pledged an era of national unity, stability, ratifying a lasting constitution, promises to fight corruption, improve the economy, and bring relations with the West back to what he called their natural state. He repeated his offer of total amnesty to any armed rebel who joined the talks. Mr. Bashir has ruled Sudan for 25 years. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.